Christmas on the Farm is a WGN tradition that Orion and Max carried for decades, featuring a look every December at how farmers in the heartland celebrate the holidays. This year, I'd like to share what Christmas was like on an American farm in the early 1900s. And as our legendary friend Paul Harvey often prefaced, this one is partly personal. First, a bit of backstory is in order. In the 1700s, Russia recruited German farmers to move to the Volga River region and till that fertile soil. But around 1900, a new Russian regime decided that arrangement had run its course, and the Germans had two choices. They could stay and face uncertain and possibly dire futures, or they could leave and face uncertain futures. After a long and difficult transatlantic journey, my grandparents, with three little children in tow, wound up in northeastern Colorado, where they would put down roots that remain today, and they added seven more children. In 2011, I interviewed the remaining two, my aunts, who were in their 90s at the time. As we look back at Christmas on the farm from years past, I have on the telephone with me somebody who has been on the farm for many Christmases, and her name is Rachel Shoupy. I know her as Aunt Rachel.
Hello, Steve.
You're on a farm. Tell us where you're at.
I'm between Sterling and Crook, Colorado, and we're 20 miles northeast of Sterling.
All right, and how many years have you lived in that house that you're in right now?
Well, it was built in 1920, and I was born in 1918. And then I lived here until I got married, and I moved away for about 4 years, I think, something like that. And then the parents decided they wanted to retire, so they moved to Greeley, and we bought the farm.
So the farm itself was nothing, right, when you got there, just pasture land,
uh-huh.
I guess, or natural
yes.
land.
Yes.
And now it's a booming enterprise, a big hay operation there now, right?
Yes.
Well, I should point out that there were a lot of other people in that house with you and your parents when you were
yes.
growing up. Tell us about the size of your family.
Well, there were 10 children.
And allow me to introduce one of those other 10 children. This is Leona Steinmetz, Aunt Leona. Hi, Aunt Leona.
Hi, Steve.
By today's standards, the Jacob Lebsack family of 10 kids didn't have much back in the teens and 20s. But Christmas was still a very special time of year.
Well, we really looked forward to it, but we never got any Christmas gifts from our parents like people do now.
I don't remember ever getting a gift as a child. I don't think we had such things.
Christmas wasn't a gift time at our house.
Why was that?
Well, I think maybe more than anything, we couldn't afford them. You know, when you have 10 kids to feed, you can't afford to buy Christmas presents.
Well, the only thing we got was that little bag of candy.
The man that ran the grocery store down at Proctor always saw to it that we had some candy at Christmas time, though.
That's the only candy we ever got, except the sucker we got on Saturday nights after we thinned beets all week.
Lots of other memories about being on the farm as a child, too. But back to Christmas, my late father wrote in 1977 about Christmas years ago. He wrote, "As it is now, Christmas was always a happy time. The emphasis was not so much on gifts, and of course it was not as commercial as it is now, partly because they didn't have radio until he was about 15, around 1929. No TV. The only newspapers were the Sterling Advocate and Capper's Weekly, and at Christmas time, the catalogs, Montgomery Ward and Sears Roebuck would show up, and the boys would look at the wagons and the skates, and the girls, Aunt Leona, do you remember the catalogs?
Boy, do I. We girls, we cut every doll out of there.
You know, we used to cut out the pictures of the girls and boys and play with paper dolls. Those were our paper dolls.
We cut up the catalogs. Nobody used anything to order anything. We didn't order anything out of a catalog.
My dad also wrote in 1977 that one of the events of Christmas Eve before going to church was the reading of the Christmas story from the Bible by Father. Then we were all bundled up in warm clothes and driven to church. The earliest Christmas that I can remember was about 1919 or 1920. Church at that time was held in a one-room schoolhouse about 8 miles from where we lived, and we each received our bag of candy with a popcorn ball or an orange. I'm sure we would have gotten a bag of goodies anyway, but we were threatened with going home empty-handed if we did not memorize our Christmas piece and present it properly before the critical parent audience.
That I remember, how we had to practice at home and practice. That went on, we thought, forever.
That's Aunt Leona. Back to Dad's memory. When I mentioned reciting properly, this included walking on stage quickly and softly, clear your throat, bow, recite faultlessly, bow, and then return to your seat without giggling.
How could you help it?
And if you did not bow before reciting, you were reprimanded on the spot, and by then, you'd forgotten what you were supposed to say.
The verses we had to memorize and then get up in front in church and speak these verses. And they were in German. And we did not understand what the words meant. We just repeated them.
Was that kind of nerve-wracking?
Oh, yes. It was very nerve-wracking. It really was.
Meanwhile, back on the farm, the cows didn't know it was Christmas.
I know when I got old enough to do chores, we always had to milk cows, whether it was Christmas or not. But on Christmas, too, we had to be sure those cows got milked.
My dad also wrote, Christmas Eve Day was almost a holiday, inasmuch as we did only the necessary farm chores. With a family of 10 children, our parents had an all-day job getting us ready for the evening and also making preparations for the Christmas dinner the next day. And while they didn't have much...
We did have a Christmas tree.
We didn't have any ornaments.
We just popped popcorn and strung it and made... chains out of paper and
cranberries to drape on the tree.
But we didn't have any electricity.
No. We had some candles. They were a little bit bigger than the birthday candles, and they were in little clips that we'd clip on the tree, but we did not light them. They were just a decoration.
And just as now, Christmas was a big food holiday.
You know, I remember Grandma Lipsack made the best cranberry sauce, and we used to have to put it on the attic steps to keep it cold, because we didn't have any refrigeration then.
What were the main courses?
Chicken. We ate a lot of chicken.
Well, you didn't have to go too far to get it, right?
No, they were our own.
What kinds of German pastries, breads, and things were made?
Rivelkuchen. It's like a coffee cake. You put bread in the bottom of a pan, and then you put fruit on it, either cherries or apples, and then you mixed up some crumbs with butter and flour and sugar and sprinkle that over the fruit and then baked it.
And did you get any fudge or peanut brittle, that type of stuff?
We used to make that too, but we could only do it on Christmas and do it legally.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while when the folks would go away, we'd make some. They didn't approve of it because it took too much sugar.
Limited food, no presents, and that's just the way it was on that farm 100 years ago when my aunts Rachel and Leona were celebrating Christmas with their family. Those interviews were originally broadcast many years ago. Both have since passed away, living well into their 90s, the last of those 10 Lipsack children. Hearing their voices again brings special memories for me, and thank you for allowing me to share this with you on this Christmas. I'm Steve Alexander, and Merry Christmas from all of us at WGN Radio.